Thanks so much for joining us here on the stream by AshTO. I'm your host, Bernie Wagenblast. Effective management during a solar eclipse is critical for maintaining safety and minimizing disruptions in transportation. Preparing in advance by establishing contingency plans, training personnel, and communicating with the public helps ensure smooth traffic flow and swift emergency response. Such proactive measures enhance resilience and ensure transportation systems remain operational during celestial events. This is the first episode of a two-part series that will focus on how departments of transportation build a resilient transportation system during an eclipse. Today's conversation focuses on preparation and planning before a solar eclipse. You'll hear from Michael White, Assistant Director with the Missouri Department of Transportation Safety and Emergency Management Division. As Assistant Director, Michael oversees and monitors loss control investigations, reviews employee incidents, and develops preventive measures. With districts and the Missouri Department of Transportation, Michael advances safety policies and regulations while enhancing safety, health, security, and training programs. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. What I'd like to do before we really get into talking about the solar eclipse and what Missouri DOT is doing in preparation for that is talking a bit more about your role at MoDOT and some of the different hats that you wear as the Safety and Emergency Management Assistant Director, please.
Sure. Thanks for inviting me, Bernie. We're really glad to be here. My role at Missouri DOT, or what I'll call MoDOT, is to be focused every day on reducing risk for both the public using our system and our employees who are managing and maintaining our transportation systems. The MoDOT Safety and Emergency Management Division encompasses 7 district offices that focus on safety programs and training, as well as claims investigations and documentation. We have staff in our central office whose goal is to optimize our programs and develop consistent, constant improvement of our safety programs for both the public and our MoDOT workers. The emergency management section of our team is responsible for emergency planning, emergency operations center management, our statewide radio network, and traffic incident management training. Also, we have a group that works with FEMA and Federal Highway for disaster damage reimbursements. And finally, we have a risk management section that manages our internal and external claim processes.
This eclipse, when you get right down to it, it's about 4 minutes of totality that is going to be experienced in the various places along the path of totality. Why is it necessary to have advanced preparation for something that is so brief? And tell me a little bit about what some of those preparations are for this.
Yeah, the bottom line for why we're doing all this preparation is safety of the public and our workers. You know, an eclipse is a very unique event, and with a lot of variables that may affect how daily traffic patterns change during that event. For this particular event, since the eclipse is taking place on Monday, many communities have created gatherings over the weekend. So for MoDOT, this may be a 4 to 5 day event, in a large part of our state. One of the unknowns for the eclipse will be the impact of weather. Weather has a big role in this event from the standpoint, if we have a cloudy day in Missouri, many travelers may move to other areas or other states where they have an opportunity to see the eclipse. The same thing happens if Illinois or Arkansas has some clouds there and we have a clear day, they may move from those areas here. So pretty challenging to understand exactly the numbers of travelers that will come our way, but the planning process will help us be ready for those. We feel that the greatest traffic impacts may be actually after the event on Monday afternoon. We think many travelers will come in for the weekend for some of these community events, but most will head home Monday afternoon for the Tuesday work week. So other areas we're focused on are limiting the oversize and overweight loads and eliminating as much construction and work zone activity as possible.
Michael, one of the interesting things about eclipses is we know about them actually hundreds of years before they happen, although I'm sure nobody was planning for this one hundreds of years ago, but how soon before an eclipse takes place do you need to start the planning and the training that you're going through?
Bernie, we began holding meetings at MoDOT with our internal staff and external partners in June of 2023. But I'm aware of some states that began planning well over a year, almost 18 months, especially the states where the eclipse is going through, you know, a broad part of the state. I think Arkansas and Illinois and Indiana would be a example of that in our area. Missouri has certainly been through this before, obviously, in the 2017 event. So fortunately, we had a lot of plans in place. We had a lot of lessons learned also. So that helped us kind of simplify a little bit of our planning process. We're rolling a lot of the plans forward that we had prior to. But again, those unknowns of, again, what's going to happen with the weather that day, those last minute travelers sure makes us really delve into as many areas as we can.
Tell me a little bit about some of the lessons that you have learned. You referenced the lessons that you learned from 2017. Tell me things you'd learned from that experience and maybe some improvements that you've made from that experience.
In 2017, the eclipse crossed our entire state, including some of our high population areas of St. Joseph and Kansas City, Columbia, and then just south of St. Louis. So it really took in a wide array of our population. This brought in a lot of travelers from outside areas, but we feel like it was helpful in a way that so much of the population was in or very near the area of totality. We feel this kind of limited the number of travelers during the 2017 event, but we're not sure that that'll be the same for this event. So we're kind of moving the thought forward that we may have a lot of population coming from those areas down into the southeast part of our district where our roadways are a little more rural. We have a kind of a north-south interstate system, but a access highway on Highway 60 going east and west. So it's definitely different. One of the big things that I think we learned as a state, not just a transportation system, was that we did a really great planning process with the state's emergency services and emergency management agencies. All the areas that were impacted in 2017 really dug in for probably 18 months prior to the event and had a lot of discussions about coordination and plans and how do we make quick adjustments. So we're moving that forward to this event also. We had really good outcomes between state and local transportation systems and also other states in 2017. And again, we brought that forward to this year. I think our impacts were pretty low in 2017. So we planned a lot. We're doing the same thing for this event and hoping for similar outcomes.
Talking a little bit about coordination, the two states that border you that are in the path of totality, Arkansas, Illinois, are you working with them at all in terms of how you're coordinating for this event?
Yeah, absolutely. And interestingly enough, we have the New Madrid earthquake seismic zone in southeast Missouri and northern Arkansas. And so we've been working with Arkansas and Illinois, and also Indiana's joined us lately. We've invited some other states also to join in recently, but we've been having an emergency management discussion monthly. A lot of times focused on earthquakes, but if we have special events, we'll share that. So that was already there. And that's a great part about that collaboration. And I think one of the things is that it was great that we did that outside of state lines. I felt like we've had that inside with our state agencies for many years, but being able to talk to those other states let us know kind of what we're missing a lot of times. They may be focusing on other areas of their planning process that helps drive ours, gives us new ideas. And then the same thing for us. We've created some process, especially in earthquake planning and management and some modeling that has been helpful to them. So that's been in place. And we just kind of narrowed our focus over the last few meetings to the eclipse and how we're all going to coordinate that.
Obviously, safety is a major concern for planning for an eclipse. There's one aspect that I would imagine the DOTs have nothing to do with, and that's the visual safety in terms of looking at the eclipse and things of that sort. But there's obviously the road safety, the travel safety that gets involved. What are some of the steps that you're taking to ensure that visitors to Missouri, or residents for that matter, have a safe and successful eclipse day?
Well, number one, we've started to do a lot of media posts. Actually, February 15th, the MoDOT Communications group started to communicate weekly. And then as the eclipse gets closer, we'll also ramp that up, some more specifics. So I think all of our state agencies that are involved in the response will join in on that. I know they have a joint information system. Also, MoDOT published a website just for travelers during the eclipse. And so you can find that on our MoDOT.org website. And they're putting safety tips for travelers, things to think about, talking about eclipse glasses, one of the items I read on there recently was, we're going to need to have our headlights on our vehicles during the time of totality, which you wouldn't think about doing in the mid-afternoon. And then also, be sure to use those glasses when you're outside looking, but take them off and clear your vision when you're driving your vehicles from place to place. So we'll continue to do a lot of different public messaging, but also one of the other pieces I look at from the emergency management side of communication is continuing to communicate with those local agencies and the state agencies that are impacted in the region. So again, our planning process has created a group of folks represented from the main cities that are impacted down there, all the counties. They've done their own kind of eclipse planning at the emergency manager level in those counties. So again, kind of rolling that all up into a process where we can get situational awareness of what's happening during that weekend and into the day of the event, I think is an important part of communications also, so we can make good decisions and keep people safe.
As far as road safety goes, you talked before about Missouri primarily has north-south interstate highways, but if there are highways with shoulders and things of that sort, are you discouraging people from pulling over in certain areas where maybe they shouldn't pull over to view this eclipse just if they happen to be traveling through the area?
Yeah, and that was one issue that we probably saw with the 2017 eclipse, that just due to the broad amount of area in the state that was impacted, it was very hard to have the resources to manage that. But that is one of the top priorities for our messaging to the public is don't park on ramps, don't park on shoulders, find safer places to park at. One of the issues that we had in 2017 that we've kind of added to our planning this year was we found that rest area and truck parking areas filled up very, very quickly, which would be a safe place, but when it's overloaded, it can become unsafe. So we're actually going to have signage and equipment ready, barricades to close those off if they become full, and then manage the traffic as people move. So that was kind of a lesson learned also we pulled forward from 2017.
One of the things about the eclipse, we've talked about the preparation during the eclipse, but this is in some ways like a big sporting event where it ends and now everybody's heading home. How do you deal with the egress, so to speak, from this solar eclipse and trying to get people back to wherever they're going?
One of the things that we've started to publish as a strategy is stay late, plan to stay there later in the day instead of just travel directly after the event. Again, I think in our planning, our thoughts are that Monday afternoon will be the biggest travel day because we think a decent percentage of people will come into these community events and are staying for the weekend. We've been tracking hotel reservations and campground reservations. We have about 600 campsites in the area of totality in our state parks, and we're seeing a lot of local communities and actually private citizens offer up places to camp. So anyways, those are all full pretty much at this point. So I think the reality that we want people to be focused on is, again, try and plan to stay later. If you're in a campground, make a reservation for an extra day and leave on Tuesday versus Monday. I think as far as immediate impacts, if we have incidents that we need to manage, we're working very closely with Missouri State Highway Patrol, with local law enforcement agencies, and we're pushing information also for the public to look at our traveler information map, which has almost real-time information on our roadways and how traffic is moving on them, so where incidents are. So we'll be sure and ask them to make part of their plan, not just leaving, but checking that map prior to and trying to manage that over time.
Michael, you talked about how you've been coordinating with your neighboring states, Illinois, Arkansas, but this eclipse obviously goes across a good swath of the United States. And I'm curious if states like Vermont, which maybe don't have the kind of experience that you've had as recently as 2017 with an eclipse in Missouri, if they've reached out to you to say, hey, tell us what you learned in 2017 that maybe we can incorporate in our own planning.
I don't know that we've had anybody directly that far away, but again, I talked about the states here in the Midwest that were not impacted previously. Several of those have reached out. I know that our communications director has been part of a nationwide public information group from FHWA, and I believe maybe AASHTO also has been part of that. So there's been for some time planning on how do we communicate nationally. There's some really great websites out there too that are pushing information. Again, my suggestion from a DOT standpoint, I think your state DOTs are going to be probably the best source of information for those transportation issues because oftentimes they have, real-time information on a traveler information map or a public-facing, website. So I think those are the key things for the public to know. And again, I think any DOTs that are, wondering what to do in their planning process, please reach out to your neighbors that have been through it before and reach out to us. We'll be happy to share anything with you.
Well, we've been talking on this episode of The Stream by AASHTO with Michael White. He is the Assistant Director of the Safety and Emergency Management Division of the Missouri Department of Transportation. Michael, thanks so much for being my guest here on The Stream by AASHTO.
Thank you, Bernie.